Before there was Google, before there was television or newspapers or radio, the way that news traveled was by word of mouth. Messengers would be sent from one place to another to announce the news to people. As I was reading the Christmas accounts this year, as I do every year, my attention was drawn to the messengers of Christmas. The day that Jesus was born, God sent some messengers to proclaim the news of his birth. They announce a wondrous mystery. And as we celebrate together, I want to focus our attention on the news of Christmas. So turn in your Bibles again to Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 20. And in this text, there are at least five lessons about the news of Christmas that we ought to take to heart as we worship together this morning. Here's the first. The news of Christmas is unexpected. Even though the Lord had promised the birth of Jesus throughout the Old Testament, as early as Genesis 3, he promised that that was going to happen. No one was anticipating it to happen quite like it did. The news of Christmas is unexpected. In the dark and cold of a Middle Eastern evening, we read this happening in verses 8 and 9. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. It is hard to imagine anyone picking a group of shepherds to be among the first ones to tell about the birth of Jesus, the most important baby born in the history of the world. Who would tell that to shepherds, first of all? Shepherds, according to every commentary that I read on this text, were a lowly and often despised group of people during those days. They had a reputation for stealing. They were nomadic. They traveled from place to place, and they would often take things that didn't belong to them. Because of their occupation, working with animals and in the dirt and the dust, they were often, for most of their lives, considered ceremonially unclean, which meant that they could not, for the most part, participate in temple worship. And the irony of that is, here are the ones who are looking after the animals that are used in temple worship, and yet they were, for the most part, cast aside. God choosing to announce the birth of his son to these guys? That's unexpected. Now, to say the least, the shepherds themselves on that night were caught off guard when an angel appears. An angel, the word angel in both Greek and Hebrew, means messenger, a messenger from God. These are angels from heaven, and an angel appears to them. Now that would be enough of a surprise to have an angel appear to them, but look at what it says comes along with the angel. Do you see it there in verse 9? It says, along with the angel, it says, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. The glory of God, because it is a display of his absolute perfection, is dangerous to human beings, because we are not perfect. So you have lowly and despised sinners, the shepherds, encountering the glory of God. That is unexpected. And the fact of the matter is that God Almighty often does things very differently than people do. God says in Isaiah 55, he says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, and neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. God certainly shows that to be true on the day that Jesus is born by sending an angel to lowly shepherds to tell them so that they would be among the first to hear the news of Christmas. Now, thankfully, for both the shepherds and for us, the news of Christmas is more than just unexpected. The surprise visit of the angel to the shepherds leaves them, it says at the end of verse 9, it leaves them terrified. They're literally shaking in their sandals. And that is a normal reaction. That is a normal reaction at the sight of an angel. That is the normal reaction when the glory of God appears. Listen, courage and pride vanish in the presence of the mere reflection of the majesty of God Almighty. They're gone. And thankfully, for the shepherds and for us, the news of Christmas is more than unexpected. We see a second lesson here, that the news of Christmas is good. Because the Son of God took on humanity, those that believe are rescued instead of lost. The news of Christmas is good. With the shepherds, as I said, shaking in their sandals, we read this in verse 10. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you," here's the word, "good news of great joy that will be for all the people." The angel has not come to strike them down. The angel has not come to pronounce God's judgment. He has come to bring them good news of great joy. It says this news will be for all the people, meaning the people of God. What is the news? He tells it in verses 11 and 12. This is the good news of Christmas. He says, "Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." The good news of Christmas is that a Savior has been born to you. Now, that is only good news if you understand your need of being rescued. The Bible says that each and every one of us, the shepherds and all of us here, are under the wrath of God Almighty because we have broken His laws and have failed to give Him His proper place in our lives. All of us have done that. The Bible tells us that God is just, and so He is obligated to see that there are consequences for our disobedience, consequences for our idolatry. The Bible also says that there's nothing that we can do to erase our mistakes. There's nothing that we can do to rescue ourselves from eternal judgment. We need a Savior, and the good news of Christmas is one has been born to you. It says, "He is Christ the Lord." Christ is a title. It means anointed one. It's a way of saying that this baby that is born on this day has been chosen by God to be your Savior. It also says that He is Lord. This little baby that's wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger is ruler of all creation. There is no power or throne that is higher than His. This means that He will save His people, and no power in the universe can keep Him from accomplishing what He has determined to do. That is good news. That is good news. Verses 13 and 14 say this: "Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom His favor rests.'" The good news of Christmas is all about the glory of God. Christmas happens because of His power. Christmas happens because of His grace. No one else can do what He has done, and every angel in heaven knows it. And the shepherds hear a great multitude of angels from heaven say it. Everyone who knows Jesus as their Savior and Lord, you can't have one without the other, by the way. Jesus can't be your Savior if he's not your Lord. Everyone who knows Jesus as their Savior and Lord has the joy of being able to join in with this angelic celebration precisely because the news of Christmas is good. Here's a third lesson. The news of Christmas is true. Jesus' birth is a historical event that can never be undone. The news of Christmas is true. Amazingly, I find this absolutely amazing, the shepherds are still able to speak. Yeah, I kind of envision it taking them a few minutes after the angels go back into heaven to say some stuff, but they can talk after that happens. And this is what they say in verse 15. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." One of the many things I appreciate about the scriptures is the emphasis that the Bible has on eyewitness accounts. The way the Bible is written makes it impossible to equate it with mythology. It makes it impossible to equate it with legend. The way the Bible is written makes it impossible to equate it with wishful thinking or mere dreams or hallucinations. The Bible doesn't leave room for that. There are only two possibilities. The way the Bible is written leaves us with only two possibilities. Either it is written by reliable and trustworthy sources, or it is written by liars. Those are the only two possibilities the Bible leaves us with. We're not told how many shepherds there are that were there in the field that night, but there's certainly more than one. They all see, they all hear, they all feel the same things as a result of their encounter with the angels. And what is their response to this? What do they do? They go investigate. Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that the Lord has told us about. Let's go and see it. The angel tells them in verse 12 that the sign that will be given to them is they will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger. Now, for a baby to be swaddled up in clothes is pretty normal. Every baby would get swaddled up in clothes. But for a baby to be lying in a manger, which is a feeding trough, that would be unusual. Now look at what it says in verse 16. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. Let's go and see it. Let's go and see what the Lord has told us about. And what do they find? They find exactly what they were told. Why? Why do they find what they were told about? Because it happened. Because it's true. God, according to his sovereign will, orchestrated the most unlikely of circumstances in bringing his one and only Son into the world. One of the reasons he does that is to show the truth of it all. If the news of Christmas were anything other than true, we would never have heard about it. Never. Jesus is born to a poor family in a backwater town, in a backwater country. He had no army. He had no social standing or privilege. If he did write something down with his own hand, it has not been preserved for us. And those he entrusted to be his witnesses, those he entrusted with his legacy, were mostly uneducated people of no standing. God chose lowly shepherds with no reputation, at least no good reputation, to be among his first witnesses. We could go on and on about the unlikely circumstances of Christmas. And what we see in Christmas is that God purposely uses people and situations that have no earthly chance of working out whatsoever, and he makes them work beyond what we can even appreciate. No one, brothers and sisters, no one has changed the world more than Jesus Christ. How is it possible with such unlikely circumstances that Jesus has changed the world as he has? How is it possible that you and I are meeting this morning to celebrate Christmas? The only way it's possible is if it's true. The only reason any of us celebrate Christmas or even know the name Jesus is because Christmas is true. Here's a fourth lesson. The news of Christmas is worth sharing. There is nothing better or more important to talk about than the miracle of the person of Jesus. The news of Christmas is worth sharing. Listen to verses 17 and 18. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. Hard to say exactly how many people they told or who they told, but what is clear, they told people about what they had experienced. Listen, it's not every day God sends an angel to say some stuff to you. That doesn't happen every day. It's not every day a person gets to hear the most important news in the history of the world. They no doubt had an eager audience as well, because the people of Israel had been living under the oppression of Rome for a long time. They were waiting for a Savior. In fact, the reason Jesus ended up being born in Bethlehem, like the scriptures had prophesied hundreds of years before, is because the emperor of Rome had issued a census, which is a way of saying, we're going to count you all so you can pay some taxes. They were feeling the oppression of Rome. And so people understood their need of a Savior. They wanted a Savior. And so when the shepherds come and they give this news, the people are amazed. They knew, the shepherds knew, that they had news that was worth talking about, and the news that they shared was certainly worthy of being amazed by. The same thing is still true today, perhaps even more so. If you're a Christian this morning, then by God's grace, you understand that the news of Christmas is true, and you and I have the benefit of having the rest of the story. We know that Christ came into the world to save people from the greatest of all enemies, from the enemies of sin and death. We know and believe that Jesus can be our Savior because he lived a perfect life. He died to pay the consequences of our evil and to make us right with God. We know that he was raised from the dead and that he is reigning in heaven right now, and that he will give eternal life to all who belong to him. All of that happens because of the news of Christmas. Now, it's true that the world today does not seem overly interested to hear the news of Christmas, but that doesn't change the fact that it's worth sharing. This is the most amazing news ever. It is the news of God doing the unexpected. It is the news of God giving what is good to the world. It is the news that we know to be true. It is news that is worth sharing. And lastly, the news of Christmas should cause reflection and worship. The more we know about who Jesus is, the more his birth should captivate our minds and command the affections of our heart. The news of Christmas should cause reflection and worship. We see the news of Christmas causes some reflection in Jesus' mother in verse 19. It says, "But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart." What the NIV translates as treasured here has the sense of guarding or protecting or keeping safe. Mary clearly has the closest and most personal experience with the Word of God on that first Christmas. Roughly 9 months before the day we're reading about this morning, she got a visit from an angel, the angel Gabriel, and he told her that Jesus would be conceived by a miracle. She had likely, through weeks and months, endured hardship and shame during her pregnancy. She had been comforted and encouraged by her cousin Elizabeth. She had seen the Lord change her husband's heart, and they both had the experience of God's provision up to and including the night that the child was born. After meeting and hearing from the shepherds, we are told of her resolve to keep all of these things, to guard them in her heart. That's important for us, to keep the truth of Christmas well guarded in our hearts. She does something else here. She ponders them. I'm fully convinced that the news of Christmas is the greatest of all mysteries in the Christian faith. Think of it. God the Son, infinite and perfect in all His ways, took on humanity with all its limitations without giving up an ounce of His divinity. It would be easier. It would be far easier to fit all the water of the ocean into a single glass without reducing its volume than it would be to accomplish what God does in the person of Christ. God taking on flesh, becoming a helpless babe, lying in a manger in Bethlehem. That, brothers and sisters, is worth some of our brain power to think on, to reflect on. We need to guard and think about the news of Christmas, but we also need to follow the example of the shepherds here. Lowly and despised men who get the good news of Christmas, and we read what they do in verse 20. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. There are many people who ignore and reject the news of Christmas, but that does not change the fact that these things happened just as we have been told. One of the greatest gifts, one of the greatest benefits to pondering the incomprehensible reality of Christmas is that it produces awe in our hearts, which leads us to worship. How can we say anything less than glory to God in the highest? How can we make it through a Christmas celebration and reduce it to simply turkey and presents? Those things are good, but they are far from the heart of Christmas. Christmas happens so that we can worship God forever. This is the news of Christmas. It's unexpected. It's good. It's true. It's worth sharing. And it demands our worship. Let's pray. Father God, we give you thanks and praise for this tremendous gift of being able to worship together this morning. We thank you, O God, that Christmas happened, that it is an unchanging reality that happened in history, and it is not just for the past. It is for the present. It is not just for the present, but it is for the future also. And Lord, we long for the day when we can sing with all the choirs in heaven, "Joy to the world, the Lord has come." God, we praise you and thank you for Christmas in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.